To the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. Galatians, chapter number 2. In Galatians, chapter number 2, there's a verse here that's going to be very familiar to you, but it's something the Lord's been working on my heart about, and something I think the Lord's been working and dealing with through a couple of the series that we're going through in our Sunday school class, and also going through the book of Ephesians on Sunday night. Lord's been teaching me some things, and hopefully he's been teaching you some things also. And one of the things I think that is always wonderful is you can always grow, you can always learn. You come back to a verse like this, and a year from now, if you've been learning and growing, you can even understand it a little bit better. So I come to a spot here, and I look at this passage of Scripture, and I think about it, and I think, well, it's so great. I don't know if I can get it all in. But it's something you learn. This is one of those verses in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, that many people that have a great Christian testimony at different times said that this verse was something that helped change their lives. I truly believe it's something, as we understand it and grow, it can help us have a victorious Christian life. And I encourage us, as we look at this tonight, especially on this Resurrection Day, that we consider some real great truth that's found in it to help us to live a very victorious Christian life. This morning we had a Easter program, and in the Easter program there was one person that was living what I like to call that resurrected life. They knew that Christ lived in them, and they believed that, and by faith they looked at things differently than how other people look at them. They didn't look at it in a grumpy way, and they didn't look at it in a bitter way. They looked at it and said that Christ, they were seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and that no matter what happened in their life, they could always have Christ living through them. And that brimming that came through them. And once again, I know it was a fictitious story. I know it was easy to write that Christian life. But I wonder how many of us could say we know somebody like that, or we've known someone like that in the past. I don't know how many times I sat and talked to someone, and especially if it's someone that's a young person or in their early 20s, and they said, if there's anyone who was ever saved, it was my, sometimes it was grandmother. Sometimes it was my mother. Sometimes it was my father. Don't hear the men's perspective many times as much as I hear the ladies, because I guess the ladies spend more time, or maybe that's just the truth of the matter. And you hear that, you know that, you've seen that from that Christ just lived in them. Christ, they prayed for them, and they were like that, and they didn't change. They weren't blown to and fro, and there was someone who made an impact, and that impact happened because Christ lived through them. And tonight when we look at these verses, I want to challenge you once again with these verses and consider some things about how to be victorious in our Christian life. The title of this evening's message is, I Am Crucified with Christ. Let's look here in Galatians chapter number 2. Let's actually read verse number 20 all together. I know some of you probably can quote it, but let's read it as a group or a congregation. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Once again, fantastic verse. There's also another verse that's right after it that we don't often read or talk as much about. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I've listened to different people speak of this verse, and there was a time when I circled the word faith and circled the word frustrate and drew a line right next to them. You say, why? It's because I believe that you're living one of two lives. Either you're living a life that's full of faith, or you're living a very frustrated Christian life. Either you live that life that's faith, faithful. I know we talk about faithful. Many times people equate faithfulness with dependability. But the true definition of being faithful means that you're a person who's full of faith. You can be very dependable and still not have faith. Usually you can't be faithful and not be dependable. But I want you to understand tonight, I truly believe that if we're honest with ourselves, are we living a life of faith, or are we living a life of frustration? I don't know about you. I've been there before. Have you?
I've tried to live the Christian life in my own strength, in my own power. And once again, this is a work that God is doing in my heart and my life as I continue to grow in my faith and continue to grow in the victorious Christian life. But there's been times when I try to work so hard and try to do this and try to do that. But the reality of it is, I can't do it in my own. And that's exactly what this verse tells us. And to be completely honest, I think if we were people that have lives of faith, we probably have some more victories in our lives. And if we were really living a life of victory, I don't think we see so many casualties among us. I think we'd see more of fruit in our life. I think we, if we really entered and had an understanding of what it means to be in Christ, to be with, crucified with Christ, that we would be able to live a life that the Holy Spirit of God would produce more fruit. And don't get me wrong, I know there are so many of us that know how to dress right and act right. We carry our Bibles. We carry the right version of the Bible. We know the hymns many times, know how to nod our head when we're supposed to, even dare to say amen every once in a while. But sometimes that can be the most frustrating thing in all the world. You say, why? It's because we're trying to do things on our own. Frustrated because we know that there's more to this Christian life than what we're experiencing. We read stories, we see characters in the Bible, we read biographies, we see so many different things about people talking about a victorious Christian life when all we ever seem to have happen to us is frustration. We don't understand what the joy of the Lord is about. We don't understand what it means to have true victory over the sin, that actually we reckon ourselves dead and that we don't return to that sin. We don't know what the holiness of God is really, truly like. And we don't know what it means to have a deep work of God doing in our hearts. And tonight, I think we're at one of those two places. Either we're living a life of faith or living a life of frustration. And that life of frustration is one that we keep on trying and trying and trying, but it doesn't seem like we're ever accomplishing anything. So what's the difference there? The difference is, do we believe that we're crucified with Christ? Do we believe that Christ liveth in us? Do we believe that he is the one that does the work through us? Now, I'm not asking you where you want to be. I want you to give yourself this thought. Where am I today? Am I living a life of faith, or am I living a life of frustration? Look what it says in verse 21 again. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. God's unmerited favor in my life. What it's saying there is, I am not causing the unmerited favor of God to be frustrated. What is he saying there? He's saying that God has so much for us. He has intended so much for us. He has provided so much for us. See, we have the unmerited favor of God in our life, and you can live a victorious Christian life. You don't have to live a life of frustration. Instead, you can live a life of faith. That's what Paul is saying. I'm not frustrating the grace of God. There's many of us that frustrate that grace that God's trying to provide to us. Probably was a month ago when we talked about forsaking their own mercies. We talked about Jonah, how he prayed and he said he forsook his own mercies. God provided mercy on him, but he turned his back on the mercy that God was providing for him. Mercifully, God gave him a plan. Mercifully, God gave him a purpose. Mercifully, and Jonah said, no, I don't want that, and turns his back. And tonight is kind of a similar thing, is to ask ourselves this question. Am I living a life of faith, or am I living a life of frustration? And if I was completely transparent tonight, I can say that in my, wow, it's a lot of years that I've been saved now, 35 years, it's probably been more frustrating days than faithful days. I don't want that to be the future, and I don't want that to be what is characterized in my Christian life. I want to be one who lives a life of faith. So ask yourself this question. Answer this question. Am I living a life of faith tonight, or am I living a life of frustration? I'm not asking you where you want to live. I'm not asking you what you hope to do someday. I'm not asking you what your family thinks or what your church family thinks, because there's probably many people says that there's someone who lives a life of faith, it would be that person. I'm not asking that. Between you and God, are you living that life of faith or a life of frustration? Well, there's good news. This morning we spoke a lot about the good news for a lost person. The good news for a lost person is you don't have to die. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to die. Christ died in our place. And we talked about that this morning. We don't have to die. I don't have to go to hell. I don't ever have to visit there. I don't ever have to be a part of it. Christ died for me. That's the good news. He has died. He buried. He rose again. Here's the thing. For a saved person, the good news is you don't have to live. Let it sink in for a second. You don't have to do the living. See, Christ is willing to live through you. If you allow him to give you, if you allow him to have complete control in your life, the Bible even says here, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Like Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of the sufferings, it is Christ that lives through me. And that's the truth that we need to get to understanding today. As we try to work hard, many times we feel like we got to work something up, and we act like we're, one preacher put it this way, rats on a wheel, continually working and working and working and working and never getting anywhere. And many times what we do is we hit a wall, we throw up our hands, and we say, I'm done, tired of trying, I'll just be happy with an anemic Christian life. Many times the devil will come to you, and the devil, who's still a liar and always will be a liar, will tell you that that resurrected life, that crucified the Christ life, is for people that are more spiritual. It's not really intended for you. And that's a lie. Don't live under what Christ bought for you at Calvary. Don't be willing to give in to what the devil is telling you. Don't just settle for a nominal Christian life. Don't say, hey, I'm better than most. I'm here on Easter Sunday night, and you know, of the other 100 and 150 people that were here this morning, I'm here. Isn't that count for something? Are you living a life of faith or frustration? And I understand that you're here, and I'm thankful for that. But when we get to glory, I think many of us, if not all of us, will be ashamed that we did not live more in the victory and the power that Jesus made available to us. So what is the answer? How do we live that life of faith? How do we live that life that is one that produces faith, one that allows Christ to live through us? Because I think, as I said before, I truly believe that either we're living a life of faith today or it's a life of frustration. Here's a couple of things I'd like for you to think about in the verses. It's a minute. It says, first thing, we'll look at the first phrase, I am crucified with Christ. And I think about that word, with those words, with Christ. It kind of opens up for me. It helps me understand something. I am crucified with Christ. And now, when did that happen? That happened when Jesus Christ died. This is something that's already been fulfilled. It's not only did he die for you, he died as you. That was your sin that was hanging on the cross. Yourself, your flesh hanging on that cross. If I died with Christ, that means I was buried with Christ. And if I was buried with Christ, that means I arose with him. If I arose with him, that means I ascended with him. And if I ascended with him, that means I am sitting with him in the heavenlies. We're going to look at that in the book of Ephesians. That's something that I think is something you learn and you understand, you grow. Whether that is a present living reality in your life or not is another story. That's the truth. You have victory. The victory's already been won. You can be victorious in your Christian life. You can be you are crucified with Christ. You are buried with him. You rose again. You ascended with him. And you're sitting with him in the heavenlies in him. That means you can have victory. The good news for the believer is the Christian cannot live the Christian life. He can't do it all on his own. You cannot cause something spiritual to happen by yourself. The real truth is you cannot live the Christian life. It's because we're carnal and we have flesh that we still deal with. In our own power, we cannot produce any good thing. But the better news is the Christian life is something we can live, that Christ can live through us. That's what his desire is. Now, you heard me even this morning say that we should be Christ-like. I get that. That's something we say. We want people to be Christ-like. We want to have the attributes of God. But in all reality, what Christ is asking us to do is to let him live through us much more than we try to act like we're Christ-like. more than us trying to live the Christ-like life. It's instead us surrendering and saying, Christ, I want you to live through me. I'm surrendering everything to you. I'm giving everything to you. And now I'm going to let you lead and direct, and you have control in our lives. Paul understood this a little bit. He got this. Colossians chapter number 3. Actually, why don't you take your Bible, just it's probably a few pages over to Colossians chapter number 3. Look what verses 1 through 4 says. Paul says something that a lot of people never get and never understand, and it's some really good verses here. Colossians chapter number 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. You know, I might have confused some people just a minute ago when I said that if we were crucified with Christ, he died for us, so we were buried with him, we rose again. If ye be risen with Christ, you've been risen with him. If you're in Christ, you've been risen with him. And he says, what are we supposed to do? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he says, not only seek those things, set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For if ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, look what it says in verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life. So Paul is saying something here. He's saying when Christ, who is our life, it became so real to him that Christ living through him became his life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And he's saying, who is our life? And Paul understood that Christ was not just a portion. Christ was so real to him. Christ was so alive to him. The Christ that was living in him and living through him, it was no longer Paul's life, but instead it had become Christ living through Paul's life. And that's where I think the secret of the victory is at, is when we allow Christ to live through us. And when we can truly have victory and reckon ourselves dead, but alive unto God. So let's look a little bit more here. Let's kind of just walk through the verses, and then I have three very short points. First thing I want you to think about, and we mentioned already, is with Christ. It says, I am crucified with Christ. This is already fulfilled. We have already ascended. It's whether or not you truly believe this. You are crucified with Christ. On that day, he died in your place. He identified with you so that you could identify with him. That's not all. It gets a little bit better. Not only are we crucified with Christ, look at that next phrase. Nevertheless, I live. So we've been crucified with him, but we are still living in this world. But it says, yet not I. It's not me that's doing the living now, but Christ liveth in me. You ask the question, am I in Christ? Yes. Is Christ living in you? Yes. It's both, that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. The first happened when Christ died on the cross. The second happened when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You trusted the Lord as your Savior. That was a good day. Hopefully you can remember the day that Christ saved you. I think that's something you never lose. I think you might not remember the exact date. I tell people when my testimony was either 8 years old or 9 years old. I think it happened when I was 9. The church records, a little piece of paper, said it happened the year I was 8. Me, my stubbornness, I still like mine. I was 9 years old. But I don't know about you, if you're stubborn or not, I am. I still think I was 9, but whatever, that doesn't matter. But the point is, it was a good day. And whether you realize it or not, and to be honest with you, I didn't realize it back then, and I'm still realizing and learning it, but we were placed in Christ. And the beautiful Son of God lives inside of us. That means the life I'm talking about does not require a future act, does not require we had to get something else. We got all of God that we were going to get when we get saved, that we got, and that is all of God that lives inside of me. The day we got saved, we got all that we needed. You did not get part of him. Christ lives inside of you and is a present reality today in your life. If you're a believer, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, look at the next phrase. And the life which I now live in the flesh. So this is the problem. You say, Pastor, it's great. How come not everybody acts like Mrs. Pepper? How come not everybody acts that resurrected life? How come everybody doesn't treat the bus driver the right way and doesn't treat their rude roommate the right way? How come everybody doesn't talk to people like that? How come Christ can show through some individuals and not others? How come it seems like people say if there was ever a real Christian, it was this person, but not the entire family? Why is that? It's because it's right here. It's the problem is that we live in the flesh. That's what this is. It's flesh. We're all sinners. We're all saved by the grace of God. And if we can understand that we've been crucified with Christ and that Christ lives inside of us, but we have a problem, that problem is our flesh. But how do we live in victory? How do we overcome that flesh? How do we overcome that old nature? That's found in the next phrase. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In the end, it's all about our faith. You think about our faith. How can we trust God with our souls, but we can't trust God with today? I mean, let's see where the rubber hits the road. I can trust God that he will take my soul for all of eternity and keep it out of hell. But I can't trust him with having to forgive somebody. I can't trust him with living that resurrected life and being willing to be a witness or give like he asked us to or be full of faith. How can I trust him with something that is worth more than all the world? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? I'm trusting you with my soul, Lord. And what Paul is saying here is that now I am living by the faith of the Son of God. It's about our faith. How can we know that getting saved does not involve works? We'd throw somebody out of church if they came up and said, you got to work your way to heaven. But how come our Christian life is one where we feel like we got to work and we got to work and we got to work and we got to work it up and we got to work it up, we got to work it up? Don't get me wrong, we should do works, but it's Christ going through us and living through us. You know why so many of us are frustrated tonight? It's because we're frustrating the grace of God. You think about it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. It sounds like that frustration is not ours, it's his. He has done everything for us. He has done everything we need. He has given us all the resources at our own disposal, yet we are still content with living a nominal Christian life. Yet we are still content with the anger, and we're still content with the pride, and we're still content with the selfishness. When he's saying that you are frustrating the grace of God, he's giving you everything you need to be victorious, but we choose to justify our sins. My encouragement to you tonight is don't justify your sin. Stop excusing your sin. Stop excusing the fact that, hey, my sin isn't bad, worse than somebody else's. Hey, everybody does it. It's something everybody says. That's just how I am. That's not what a crucified life is. That is not one who is living the resurrected life. That is not one who is letting Christ that's living through them. Instead, that is one who is frustrating the grace of God. Christ died on the cross and he's given you an opportunity. He's given you the ability through him, as you let him live through you, to reckon yourself dead, to yield yourself unto righteousness, and not to yield yourself unto unrighteousness. You're no longer a servant of sin. He's done all that for you. He's accomplished all that for you. Now, how does it happen? You got to believe it. It's really easy to sit there and say the things, but to live it, that's where faith comes involved. God's amazing grace gives you everything you need to live a victorious Christian life, but it's only accessed by faith. How do you get saved? By grace, yes. What's it through? Faith. And Hebrews 11, and you know, like I said, so many Christians sit there and they try to work and they try to work so hard and they try to work so hard and they think, I need to do this. I need to please God. I need to be exactly right. I need to please God. But what does the Bible says? For without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the Bible goes on. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It was by faith through the Old Testament. It was by faith through the New Testament. Why do we expect it to be any different in our lives today if I'm going to live that crucified life, that resurrected life? It's got to be done by faith. You cannot live in victory and power. Cannot live with victory and power apart from living a Christian life. It's utterly impossible. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I'm not saying that I get it all. I'm not saying that I understand it all. But I know that God has given us that way. He's given us that opportunity to live a resurrected Christian life. And we see that there are people who live that way. There are people who say, there's a person of faith. But deep down inside, many times, the people are longing and they're hungering and searching for something more because they are frustrated, because they have frustrated the grace of God, because they choose to live not a life of faith, but instead a life that is lacking. You think about it, Israel limited the Holy One of God, it says in Psalms. It says about Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The one thing that limits an almighty God is unbelief, and the one thing that releases the power of the almighty God is faith. So are we living by faith? I'm not asking you if you think you're living by faith. I'm not asking you if you thought you lived by faith in the past. I'm asking you today, last week, did you live by faith? I'm asking you, did you allow Christ to live through you, as the verses are saying? Has he become your all? Are we living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Do you have faith in your home? Do you have faith in your marriage? Do you have faith in God's plan and design for your family? Do you have faith at work? Do you have faith in your church attendance? Do you have faith in the power of God? Do you have faith today? Because if you do not have faith, I believe that you're frustrating the grace of God. Three quick points and we'll be done. First point is, it's a personal faith. You see where the verse starts. I am crucified with Christ. You see how it ends. It says, gave himself for me. That is very personal. First word is I. The last word is me. You cannot have faith for someone else. This is not about man. This is about Jesus Christ and what you have your faith in. It's personal. I cannot get saved for somebody else. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, if I could get saved for them, and I understand what they're saying because our heart hurts for them, but are you living a life of faith that's going to allow you to have Christ living through you so they can see Christ in your life, so they can see their need and show the difference that's being made? It's a personal faith. It's something that it only and only you can establish whether or not you will have the faith that does not frustrate the grace of God. It is a personal faith. Not only is it a personal faith, it's a present faith. It's a present faith. Say, Pastor, will you see the word faith? It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And look what the next phrase. And the life which I now live. So many times people want their Christianity to be something of the past. I remember when I lived by faith back then and I saw God work. I remember when God did this with me. I remember how God helped me back then. And so many times people want to live their Christianity in the future saying, someday I'm going to have faith. Someday I'm going to get right to God. But it's saying right here that I live now. It's not saying yesterday. It's not saying in the future, which I live now in the flesh. We need it now. Many times we want to come to church and get enough about Jesus for the rest of the week, but it's not that at all. It's that you come to church to hear the preaching and teaching of God's word because Christ has been working in you and Christ has been living through you all throughout the week. You can get the encouragement. You get equipped to go back out. But it begins getting on our face before God every single morning and saying, I'm in your presence, Lord, now. But not only do I want to be in your presence, Lord, now, I want to be in your presence, Lord, all throughout the day because I need to live my faith, not just for a moment, not just at church, not just on Easter Sunday, but it needs to live in the flesh now because the flesh is not going to cease. The flesh is not going to get over till I get to be in heaven. But day by day, moment by moment, my faith needs to be now and present. I need to live with him in the presence throughout the day. And the wonderful thing is, God's going with you. He says here, I live in the flesh, But it's Christ that liveth in me. He is at your house with you. He is at your work with you. He sees you when you think no one else sees you. He hears you when no one else hears you. He sees what you're looking at when no one else is seeing what you're looking at. All those things combined. He sees your attitudes and he sees your actions. He sees it all. Christ lives in you. But are you living a life of faith? One believing that he can work through you. And once again, some people use that as a way to not do what's wrong. But I'm telling you, you've missed the point. When we say that he delight in the Lord, we delight in his presence because we know that he is going through it with us. We know that he's seeing everything with us. He's experiencing everything with us. And he can live through us. He has a response to every situation. He has an answer for every question. He has wisdom for every problem. He has strength for every issue. If we would allow him to live through us, we would know exactly what's to do and say. And when you don't know what to say, you've been living with him long enough that as it comes to your heart and mind, you know how you should react. Because it's a life that is not a faith of yesterday or a hope for someday, but as a present help in a time of trouble. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. I did say 3 points or 4 points, but you see how quickly they're going anyway. So the third one is a practical faith. It is a practical faith. Let's look what it says. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Now, this is not a pie in the sky type thing. It's done in the flesh. It's not just something that's personal. It's not something that's present. It's practical. Where do you live it at? You live it in the flesh. It's not something that you just figure out what's happening here and we act right at church and we do things that are right at church. But no, it's in the flesh. It touches everything we touch. It goes over everything we go over. It experiences everything we experience. God enters into every area of your life and he lives through you. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You say, Pastor, we need to have faith in every area of our lives. It is a life of faith that when we take our hands off and let God have control, we say, God, I'll give it all to you. We have to have faith in God when somebody's in the hospital bed, don't we? We can't do anything when God's in the hospital bed. I mean, when someone else is in the hospital bed. We cry out and say, we've left them over to God, we're giving over to God. And the point is to learn how to do that before they ever get to the hospital bed. To say, I cannot handle the situation, I do not know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to let God live through me, I'm going to let God work through me, I'm going to let God be the one that determines my actions in every situation according to his word and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. It is a practical faith. It's something that's in the flesh. It touches everything we touch. It's not saying that we're going to be pious and say, yes, I'm trusting God to get me to heaven. Well, praise the Lord for that. But he wants you to do it in the flesh, here and now. Everything you touch, he wants you to have faith. That's where living the resurrected life comes in. So not only is it personal and present and practical, last but not least, it is powerful. I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's a powerful faith. It's not because your faith is strong. That's completely against what we're teaching here. It's because your object of your faith is strong. Look what it says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not talking about someone. I'm talking about Jesus. And that's why we need to look unto Jesus. All the victory is found in Jesus. He is the Son of God. And because of Jesus, we have the access to everything that God intends for us. Take your Bibles to chapter number 4. Look what it says, verses 6 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And look what it says. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That means we have access to everything we need. That means that we are no longer a servant, but instead we are a son, not just a son, we're heir with him, and Christ is enough. He gives us access to everything we need in heaven, and God has proven, he's demonstrated our love to us, and it says at the end, who loved me and gave himself for me, and in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible talks about he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He has given us everything that we need to succeed. The question is, are we living a life of faith, believing that, or are we living a frustrated life because we want to continue to do the work in our own? We get to, I got to try harder, I got to try better, I got to do this, I've done something wrong, I've messed up over here, I keep on failing, I keep on faltering, it doesn't seem like it's accomplished anything, and we work, and we work, and we work, and we spend, and we spend, and spend, when Christ is saying, I want to live through you, I want you to give everything over to me, and I want you to become your all. He gives us access, and I like that truth. I'll tell a quick little story and I think we'll be done. I don't know if you've heard this story before, but it's one I've heard multiple preachers use. A little boy, dirty, had walked to come see the King of England, try to get in. And the guards, they wouldn't let him in. The guards said, kings don't have time for little boys, especially little dirty boys like you. And the little boy went around from gate to gate, and you all know how those soldiers are. You can't even get them to smile. They wear those big things on their head, and you can't get them to do anything. But they weren't impressed with the little boy. No, no, the king doesn't have time for you. The little boy's crying off in the corner. A well-dressed young man comes. And he has a little entourage with him. Sees the little boy crying and goes over and speaks to the little boy and says, hey, what's wrong? He says, I've walked miles. Just come see the king. I need to speak to the king. And the man says, can I help you with anything? He says, no, I need to see the king, but these men won't let me come in. And the man kind of stood up, he straightened up his suit, and he says, I'm getting ready to go in. He says, you think you can get in? He says, I think I can get in. He says, would you like to go with me? As the story goes along, the man took the little boy's hand, he walked right past the guards. Instead of stopping him, telling him they couldn't come in, the guards came into attention. He walked him right in to see the king. The king, the man was the Prince of Wales, the king's son. He gave him access to the king. He got to go right up to king. He got to have a part of the king. You might say that's a really neat story, but it's even just minuscule to what we get through Jesus Christ. Because we come through the Son, we have access to the king. We have the ability to have everything the king has to offer to us, and he has given us everything we need to live a victorious Christian life, but still we frustrate the grace of God when we allow ourselves to let the flesh overrule and reign us. We're thankful for the Son. Because of the Son and what the Son does, we have access to the Father. And because of the Father and because of the Son, I know they're all God, I know they all work together, but we have access because of what Jesus Christ did, and he lives in us, his Spirit lives in us, and we can have victory tonight. So as I told you before, I think this is a verse that maybe years down the road that we can maybe explain in a greater detail in a greater way. But hopefully this whets your interest a little bit. I know it wet mine. I stayed close to my note. There's a lot of different things from preachers that were written and things like that because it's something that I'm still learning from, something I still want to grow from, and something I still want to understand. But I still remember the day that preacher said, either you're living a life of faith or a life of frustration. And I said, you know, that's a great description of what my life has been like as a Christian. If I've been living by faith and letting Christ live through me, I am not frustrated no matter what the issue is, no matter what the problem is. Christ is living through me. Christ can handle that. He can take care of it all. But when I see like I got to work and I have to accomplish it and I have to do it and I have to do it and I have to do it, it's not faith. It's more based off my works. And I would throw somebody out of the pulpit that said that you had to come up by your hand to work your way for salvation. No, we wouldn't let that be said. But how come we feel like we got to work our way to be right with God? It's a life of faith. It's always been a life of faith. All throughout the Old Testament, it was faith. All throughout the New Testament, it's been faith. How come the day and time that we live at today, We feel like we can get by without faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Tonight, are you living the resurrected life? Tonight, are you living a life of faith? I'm not asking if you're dependable. Obviously, you're here on Sunday night of Easter. Of course, you're dependable. I'm asking you if you're full of faith. Are you faithful? Or are you frustrating the grace of God? I say, I don't get that. He has given you everything you need to be victorious. When we choose not to believe and let Christ work through us, we're frustrating the grace of God. We're missing everything that Christ bought us on Calvary. And we're living under the position that He has given us. Remember, we were crucified with Him, buried with Him, ascended with Him, sitting with Him in the heavenlies. We do not have to lower ourselves to be a servant of the sin of this world anymore. We have access to everything we need because we've been crucified with Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed.